There are a lot of things that matter to me. Family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Oh boy, ladies, gents, germs, and everything in between. There is an incredible guest here today. I'm not even going to BS. Like, I'm just excited to be here with you guys.
I'm so excited.
So today, we are talking. What are we talking, baby?
You know, I'm really happy that we're having this conversation because this is a very important conversation for a tiny little animal on the planet. And we're talking bees.
That's right.
We were lucky enough to come across Melissa's Instagram page back in September because we bought a house that had not one but two beehives.
Indeed.
And we didn't want to have them exterminated, which we at that point thought might have been the only option. We wanted to find somebody that can do something better. And then we got the gift of you. And all the lessons and beautiful things that you taught us in that time. So we thought, hey, maybe we can share those beautiful lessons with the world.
Well, thank you.
Melissa!
Introduce yourself. What do you do?
Oh, well, okay. So, yes, Melissa, like the Miami Bee Lady. And my head is just chock full of bees. So I am super happy to be here.
Here we go.
What?
The bee puns
we've already started.
Have started.
Yes. Yes. And share something. I don't know. I mean, I'm with bees basically 24/7. So
beekeeping,
I have something
is your
to say.
No, you'd have plenty. Beekeeping is your day to day. That's all you do.
Yes.
And how did you start?
I have to always give credit to my friend Debbie.
Mm.
I know. She was like, Melissa, because she just talks like that. Melissa, your name means honeybee. Literally.
That's right. Mel. Miel.
Mm-hmm. Miel. Mielisa. Melissa is like bee goddess, like a honey dripping goddess of beedom is what my name means. And her name actually in Hebrew, that's in Greek. Ooh. And her name in Hebrew also means honeybee. Deborah.
Meant to be.
I know.
Meant to
that's
be.
What that was her exact point. That was totally that. Her point. So she pushed some hives on me, but just the boxes, not the bees.
And at that point, did you know anything about beekeeping?
No, zero. I knew the same as everybody else, which is basically
nothing.
Zero.
Yeah.
Nothing. And she was like, I'm giving you these boxes. Be a beekeeper. Do it now.
Wow.
And I said, no. No. This is like many thousands of stinging insects. And, you know, that's a little crazy.
Yeah.
So, but it did actually pique my interest and it got me thinking about it. And I kind of said yes. I kind of found my inward yes to look into it.
What was the initial thing that made you say yes? Do you love animals? Are you interested in the environment?
I've been rescuing animals since I was like really tiny.
Yeah, so it's in your heart.
Yeah, it's totally that way.
For me, I feel like there are certain animals that people say, we need them, da, da, da. But then human reaction is kind of like fear, not prepared. Like, for example, oh, get in the water, there are sharks. Oh, bees, oh my God, there's a bee. And you are the first person who actually showed me that when you get to know the animal, you don't have to be as afraid. And the fear actually impacts the situation. So that's something else that we may have all this information. Yes, you know, I bet you a lot of people say, oh, the bees are dying. What does that have to do with the environment? I guarantee you most of those people have no idea why that connection is made.
Right. I don't even know that everybody realizes that the bees are dying.
Right.
I don't even think that we've gone that far. So to prepare for today, because it was an important day for me, I was reading some literature on bees and I didn't realize.
Good for you.
Thank you. Okay, but I came across a really sad piece of information. Mm. What happened in 2018? That a bunch of colonies died? Like half of some colonies in the US I was seeing were dying. What is causing? I mean, other than obviously the environment, what would you say is like the number one contributor to the dying of bees?
Okay, people.
Mm. Okay.
That would be the number one contributor, is just human beings and our practice of agriculture and pesticides and monocropping and controlling the environment to the extent that bees and other insects, other beneficial insects, don't thrive as they used to. And they're dying.
You mean like removing bees and killing a hive?
No, like in Iowa and Kansas and stuff, there's just corn and soy, which is just a wasteland for pollinators. There's no food there for them. And also the mass use of pesticides and herbicides, same thing. And then the way that we do our agriculture is we do these massive agricultural events. And so we ship in bees in trucks to pollinate our blueberries, our almonds, our apples.
Where do they come from?
You know, our cherries. They come from commercial beekeepers. Oh. Mm. And they just get shipped around the country all year round according to the ginormous crop schedule.
Oh.
Yeah.
So there's that's not these, good. We don't like that.
Yeah. So it's like, it's really people. It's like, it's not the way it used to be. Like even 200 years ago was very, very different. You know, it's the industrialization of beekeeping.
So essentially, like in the natural order of the world, right? Bees, we need them because they pollinate what ends up being our food, right? Or everybody's food.
Everybody's
right?
food, yeah.
So now if we've gone as far as to do like factory farming and environments where we're controlling the food, now they're going as far as controlling the pollination of that. So that contributes to it. That's what you're saying.
Yes. Oof. So it's a combination of factors of the way that we have industrialized food complex kind of mentality.
The entire thing.
Yeah.
And we hear a lot, like, you know, if bees die, we die. Why is that? Because I don't think people really understand the importance that bees play in the ecosystem of human beings.
Yeah.
And how we really rely on them.
Yeah, aren't they just like a keystone creature on the planet?
That too. Forget so their inherent value.
If they're pulled out of the picture, if they actually did like not thrive anymore and die, then we wouldn't have, you know, at least one third of the food that we eat.
Okay, so is it true? I read this, but the internet. Is it true that bees are responsible for like 80% of our pollination? This is what I read. That bees, at least in the US, bees are responsible for 80% of the pollination of all of our vegetation. So it's so tough, Melissa, because I figure, okay, you know, in 2050 or whatever year, right? Like, could we simulate what bees do? I have an aero garden at home, and this got me thinking. It's an indoor hydroponic garden where you can grow herbs or whatever. And they sell this little handheld pollinator, which is very cute and even looks like a bee. And it just vibrates. And you're supposed to go to each flower and kind of like hand pollinate. Now, obviously, that's not sustainable large scale. It can't, right? Like, there's just no replacement.
Right.
So, okay.
Like, you know, it, throw out the pollinating stick.
Get rid of it.
I mean, people try. I think people even have, like, we think we're so, like, technologically hip nowadays that we can do anything and invent anything, you know. So people actually try. I mean, they try these little fake bees that can, you know, like tiny, they fly, you know.
Yeah.
Like a robot bee, you know. Or what you're talking about, which is kind of like a little
handheld thing.
Or yeah, but it's nothing as efficient like a bee. And it's not just that. The magic of what bees do is beyond people. So it's hard to describe, because what they do is they're attracted to the flowers that are in their perfect prime of producing nectar. So bees and flowers have evolved together. And how presumptuous of people to think that 125, 130 million years later, we can come up with a fake bee and some hand pollination. And also people have recently come up with honey, but not made by bees.
Wouldn't that just be syrup?
No, they actually looked at the components of honey and recreated it in a lab.
Oh, how do you feel about that?
I don't feel so good about that.
Me neither.
Because again, it gets back to like the genuine, real magic of bees and our and the genuine magic of our world. The natural world.
Yeah. Isn't honey one of the only like food ingredients in the world that like doesn't actually expire? That they found honey.
Yes.
I read somewhere they found like honey in the pyramids that was still good.
I mean, there's honey that has antibacterial properties.
Doesn't it all? Like, it has so many healing properties for the body. But honey's another part of this conversation.
Yeah.
And I learned this through you. You're not supposed to take the bees' honey. That's their food. That's their reservoir.
I guess it's not surprising, but it kind of surprises me that people don't understand that honey is bee food.
Right. Oh. We think of it as something for us. Well,
yes,
hello,
we
think of everything as something
for us. Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, honey is not for us.
I often get asked why I'm such a big fan of wrestling. And it's all thanks to my grandma. Growing up, we would watch matches together, and that bond turned me into a lifelong fan. Hi, I'm Freddie Prinze Jr., and on my podcast, Wrestling with Freddie, we know how important it is to have the right teammate, because things can get pretty tricky quick. So, when things get complicated and you need help, State Farm gives you options. They show you what's possible for ensuring what matters to you. One of the things that matters to me? Sharing memories and revisiting wrestling's greatest moments. And with State Farm's support of the My Cultura Podcast Network, I get to do just that. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows, wherever you listen to podcasts.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
All right, so, okay, on the topic of honey.
So bees in space. Oh, no, okay.
I love that. Hey.
Maybe we need to take the bees to space to save them.
Maybe that's what we gotta do.
Yeah.
Okay, so honey, I want to understand this too, because I know sweetie. That a lot.
Oh, honey.
Oh my God, the bee
puns. I know you like me. It's great. I love it.
We need
you guys.
The bee sound. So much. We love you more. Oh. Hashtag save the bees. Okay. Honey, explain to people that, because not only do we think that all animals produce things for us.
Right.
But I feel like honey is one of those things that goes by the wayside, because again, people are scared of bees. People don't understand.
Yeah, the weird thing about being someone who removes bees, you know, because people go honey and then there's an equal sign and then there's bees, or bees equal honey.
So like that's what they're here for.
That's what they're here for. And there's no other purpose. Maybe people know about pollination. I don't know. But generally speaking, if I say bee, you say
honey.
Honey.
Or ouch.
or I'm scared. Yeah. Run away. So with that and removing bees, often when I remove bees, people are like, can I have the honey? Or what are you going to do with the honey? Or like, this is the biggest deal is, you know,
the honey.
Yeah. Like
they're like, get these creatures out of here, but I want what they make.
I want what they make. Right. I know. And most of the time when I remove bees, they don't come with excess honey. And, you know, I mean, unless you're a beekeeper, you wouldn't understand this. So it's totally, right. I fully get it. But sometimes it takes a year or two, if ever, for a hive that I keep, you know, to grow to a size enough that they make excess honey that I feel comfortable taking.
Okay. So you do it when you feel like
ethical, you know.
What is the function of honey for bees?
So it's just their food source. So they have two things that they get from the flowers. I mean, they get nectar, and then they also get pollen, which is how they pollinate, because they're collecting that pollen, rubbing it on themselves, keeping it in their little leg sack.
Their cute little so fuzzy cute. Body. Oh my gosh.
And then they go to the next flower and, you know, so they're providing that pollination, but they're also collecting the pollen to take home to the baby bees.
Let's do this. Let's run it back. The way, like Jem mentioned, that we met Mielissa, which I'm going to call her now.
Oh, I love it. You're the first one to ever call me that.
Mielissa?
Yes, I love it. Work. So sweet.
Literally.
Yes.
So this is a big problem that people have. We had bees in our home.
Yeah.
And we had to call probably 5, 6, 7 people.
Yes.
Before we found someone that was not adamant about killing the colony.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Right. And their reasoning, oh no. Some people were like, either way, they won't survive. You know, whatever runaround they'll give you to not save the bees. So right. That was not an option for us. Luckily, we found you and we had one outside, a hive outside, and we also had a hive inside.
Well, it was kind of like in the, how would you describe
soffit.
Where it was? Yeah, it was soffit. In the soffit of our house. Right.
I guess, which is like, I don't know.
Some the kind one of outside hive. Was remarkable though. Oh my that God. Is, that was the, like a oh, personal experience of was, the architecture of the bees, because it was on a decaying palm frond.
Under the
it
palm
was.
Frond.
That was already.
And it was massive.
It was massive. I don't know how that didn't fall.
I don't know either. Right. They picked the right type of palm tree. They're so smart.
They're yep. so
smart. Because it's not the it's the kind where you have to cut the palm frond off.
Right.
It's not the kind where it falls. Just falls off.
Right.
Something that was incredible, I was observing how you were interacting with both hives. And I was keeping my distance and, you know, nervous and resonating that energy. But you were singing to the bees. You had them in your hand. You yeah. were overjoyed, and I wanted to know more about how you got to that energetic place. So you started to talk to me about something, and I remember this is what initially really sparked my giant love. You started it for bees. So if it's cool with you, you can tell that story again about how the hive works and, you know, the recycling of the queen and everything like that.
Oh, there's so much. There's so much, because they're a super organism. So I get all excited.
We share the excitement with you, by the way. Yeah, so go full weirdo here.
Right, exactly. Oh my God. So yes, bees crawling on me. They're really, really soft. They're soft like feathers, you know. And most of the time bees are not into stinging anybody, because they do lose their lives. It's the female bees that sting.
Because the males can't, right?
Right. The males are just big flying teddy
bears. They don't
bears.
Really do much for the hive.
Take
do
note.
They
Take
do.
Note. They do?
Yes.
They procreate with the queen.
They procreate with the queen, so they pass on the genetics, which is thing number one.
And then?
But they also create this gorgeous sense of well-being within the hive.
We'll keep them.
Yeah, we'll keep them. Because they're like 10. At least they know their place. They're only about 10%.
Oh, okay.
Which is as it should be. Totally. They're really flying teddy bears. They're just like love buckets flying around the drones.
Okay.
The boys.
I remember you telling me, because I was like, Melissa, I'm scared of getting stung. Mm. You're like,
that's a boy bee.
Yeah. Sting you. Okay. And I really, you won me over from probably even before I met you, but you really won me over at one moment when you were like, look at her. She's such a sweet little girl. And I was like, yeah. Because sometimes when you speak that way, and you make that emotional connection to things, it changes your relationship to it. And I was like, this is just a little sweet little girl. And she may be one of a thousand in here, but she's special.
Okay, yes. So one of a thousand, I'm telling you. One of a thousand, I want to hear. Yes.
The overall is that they have this incredible unity between all of them in a particular colony. And the cement of the colony is the smell, the pheromone. And that's the queen. So the queen has this very powerful scent that keeps them together for years until, you know, eventually at one point, you know, she uses up her fertility and she starts to go on the waxing side, or the waning side, I should say. Yeah.
Over the hill.
Over the hill, poor baby. And so so they will replace her.
What do you mean by that? Do they eat her and kill her?
Well, honestly.
Oh. Yeah, honestly.
Okay,
yeah,
bees are also, can be brutal because they're not like us, all mushy and emotional like that. They really believe in the greater good of all of them together. And if it's best to have a new queen to continue for all, then they just murder her.
Yeah. And why don't they like put
swarm
her?
Or put her like, there's like this ball.
They put her in a ball. Yeah.
And they kind of like suffocate.
And why can't they take that ball to Palm Springs and drop her there? Right. Why do they have to kill her?
No, sometimes they do actually have two queens at one time. So they do allow the retired queen to kind of live out for a while.
That's amazing.
As the new queen begins. They do sometimes. Aww. I've seen that.
You've also told me when there's more than one queen, the colony has the ability to split.
Yes.
Which is really cool.
Which is reproduction, but at the super organism level of the whole.
Right.
So when they split in two, people think it's scary to see a swarm of bees. To me, it's like the music of the universe.
Wow.
Because they're at their most docile when they split into two. And half the bees, or maybe a little bit more, leave with the old queen, the old matriarch or mother. And they leave with her, and it's such a moment of hope.
Wow.
And like blind faith, because they don't have a body, which is the comb anymore. They don't have the food. They're not taking it with them except for what they put in their little stomachs. And they're just flinging themselves out to the world and saying, okay, we're going to...
Maybe find
start
a home.
Over. Yeah, so maybe find a home.
How long will it take a hive, like in this scenario, to land somewhere and set up shop?
Well, it's usually a matter of days.
Wow, but that's a long time. And they're flying around the whole time in a swarm?
Well, the swarm lands where the queen lands. So they usually pick a tree, or you'll see them like on a fence or something, you know, or on the side of a house or under a balcony or something. And they're in a like a shape. All together, like a size of a, I don't know, football. And the queen is in the middle there somewhere. Mm. So again, it's her scent that keeps them all glued and hanging together and holding on to each other. And then they have scout bees.
What's a scout bee?
She goes around and she scouts for a new home.
Oh, and then she comes back.
And then she comes back, and you know how she reports about it?
Hey girl, I found a house.
No, it's on the corner. I know this. No. I know this because
it is kind of like that,
except not singing, right?
But she could be buzzing, which is
she
kind
could
of singing.
Be. Which you're right, yeah. That is kind of singing. But isn't it a dance?
Yes.
Don't aren't
no.
they? Yes. Bees communicate like through physical movements.
She's shaking her booty.
No.
Yes.
The waggle dance.
She's doing a little figure eight, the infinity sign on the swarm itself, And she's communicating to all her sisters, who are paying attention, but pretty much, you know, the whole thing, and whether the place she found is spectacular, mediocre, or poor.
No way.
And if it's spectacular, more and more of her scout sisters will go check it out.
No.
And when they check it out, look, there's actually books on this, research. People have researched this and discovered this is what bees do. I don't know how we... bee researchers are amazing
people.
Wow,
yeah.
But when they go and they find a cavity, whether it's your soffit or inside a tree or something like that, they take measurements.
What?
The bees take measurements. They walk it. They walk it. And also by the sound vibration within the cavity.
Yeah, like the reverb.
Yeah, the reverb. And then they are also checking for the holes there, like access.
Like how sturdy it is, how they can get in and out.
A whole bunch of different things. And this is the hard thing for homeowners. When they scent that a previous hive has been in that space, they automatically favor it.
Oh, which is why pheromones.
Which is why bees keep coming back, unless you really, really block it up.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
So if you see a bee on their own, they're either scouting or away from, like, from what I'm gathering, bees kind of work as a unit. If they don't have honey, if they don't have a home, if they don't have a queen.
What about when they go to, like, feed or pick up nectar? Do they do that in groups as well? Or are they kind of...
They tell each other. They communicate a lot. So they'll say, oh, look, lavender flowers over there. They'll communicate that with their sisters.
Wow. They twerk it.
They totally twerk it. Yes, we have much in common with bees. Yeah.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles. Because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. If tonight's movie night is just what you need, make it special with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
How long can a bee survive without like a hive or a queen or a home?
Not very long. Maybe like, a day or two.
That's no time at all.
That's
no
And time otherwise, what's the lifespan of a bee?
Around 6 to 8 weeks, depending on how hard she works or, you know, a bunch of conditions.
So a queen also 6 to 8 weeks?
No, a queen can live for years.
No way.
I actually saw in my research, I saw beekeepers that use these markers that I hope they're safe for the bees. I assume they are. Where they mark their little like bodies so they know if a bee is a year old, a queen is a year old or 2 years old or three years, I guess. Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that. How can a bee last a few weeks and then, how is a queen born? They look different, right?
Well, this is why people have often over the millennia thought that royal jelly, right, which is what the queen's diet is exclusively, that's what she eats in her lifetime.
What's royal jelly?
Royal jelly is an excretion from young bees that's like a special food.
What?
They excrete it, I think, from their heads and
their third eyes?
Yeah. And it gives that longevity to the queen, and that's why it is believed, I don't know if it's true, that it has the same effect on any people, but people think that royal jelly gives you longevity.
The fountain of youth.
Right?
Is that what the queen eats?
That's what
basically,
she eats.
Basically, like within her own, you know.
So I'm here wrinkling and aging when you I could are be not. Eating
Excuse
royal
me.
Jelly.
Excuse me. Can I just call baloney on that? Do you mind?
Now I come home and Emily has emptied out an entire cabinet. It's all royal jelly.
No.
Yes.
I actually just ordered some. No. I would never. Save the bees. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, wow.
So she eats this royal jelly.
Yeah.
And she survives longer. And why does she look different? Doesn't she have like different wings or something?
Yeah. So when she's a little egg and she bursts from an egg, and the eggs are like smaller than a sesame seed. They're wow. really tiny. Really small. Yeah. And so that bursts open. And at that point, they feed all the little tiny baby larva bees royal jelly for the first couple days.
Okay.
But with the if the bees choose their queen and they're going to grow a queen, right? As opposed to a regular worker bee or maiden
bee.
So
the bees determine that?
Yes.
Wow. Oh.
I thought it, like a queen had to give birth to a queen or something.
Well, there's a little bit of both. It depends okay. on the situation. It gets a little complex. You want me to get into it?
Yeah, why not?
Yes? Okay. So in a normal healthy hive, they have a queen cup, which is like a ready room for a baby queen.
I've seen this.
Right?
You sure?
So it looks like the top of an acorn.
Okay.
And it's empty most of the time and they're normal and nothing to think about. But once it has an egg in it, that means the queen has come along. The hive has decided it's pretty much time to swarm. So because she knows and everybody knows that we're prepping now to swarm, she'll go and she'll put an egg in that cup.
The queen.
The queen will do it.
So she's like, oh,
so
they're going to kill me.
So she kind of picks at that point. Well, she knows they're going to. She's going to swarm.
Oh, right. She's going to.
She's going to leave. Got right. it. So she puts the egg in there. So she kind of picks. She kind of places the egg. In other emergency situations or what they call a supersedure, which is when they're going to off the old queen and create a new queen because she's fading.
Mm-hmm.
So in those situations, the bees themselves can pick it.
Okay.
Can pick the egg.
Wow. Yeah. And then I'm guessing they will give it more royal jelly?
Yeah. So then what a normal maiden bee or female bee, whatever, worker bee, they feed her after a little bit more like bee pollen and honey mix. Mm. You know, they take her off the royal jelly. To create a queen, they keep her on the royal jelly.
Wow.
And then she genetically
okay,
grows
that is
different.
Okay. So really there's something to the royal jelly.
I mean, really, yeah.
No, there
so
really
when our,
is.
When our Amazon order gets here in 2 days.
Oh my gosh, we're gonna have an episode on bees and then order royal jelly from Amazon.
You guys heard of the black market. What about the bee market?
Oh my God, there's so many bee products. It's insane the amount of products that bees make. So royal jelly is one of them. When everyone had their own hives that were pollinating their own food crops
right.
in their area, and everything was local because there was no container ships and semi-trucks and yada yada, right? Shipping bees to pollinate. That
it's
was
wild.
Like, it's so bizarre.
So bizarre.
It's really, so, you know, this whole thing where people are getting back to beekeeping and backyard beekeeping and stuff, I think is very hopeful and positive because it goes back to a way of being with bees and learning and like understanding not just bees, but like the whole cycle of bees, weather, seasons, solstices, you know, the natural cycle of a year when, because people don't know. They think bees make honey all the time. They do not.
Ah, I didn't know that.
Right. They make it in accordance with the cycles of the weather.
Wherever they are.
Yeah. And you know, the bloom.
Of the flowers.
Correct. And especially of the trees.
Mm. Yeah, I feel like we're always trying to evolve. That's the wrong word to use because it's not what's really happening. But like society moves forward. Technology, and how people can make more money and, you know, get the masses to do whatever they want them to do. But for me, a lot of it is going back, you know, back and reading and understanding the people that were here when we didn't have internet, when we didn't have those things, because we're growing in a completely different direction. I think that people way, way, way before us were far more
advanced. Yeah.
Right. Like when it comes to communication, I even think there might have been potential for telepathy and things like how bees communicate.
Really, what bees represent is the interconnectedness, the symbiotic relationship between us and everything around us that we as human beings oftentimes forget or don't even realize that that exists.
Yeah. So bees not only are just a gateway bug to learn more about bugs in the world, but they're also a gateway bug spiritually.
Yeah.
Okay, in bee mythology, bees are considered, in a variety of more ancient cultures, a bee that takes you between life and death. To accompany, you in the transition, the soul to the next, lifetime or whatever. And so, so I think that the reason that is because bees are so intimately in and out of death and life and rebirth. My personal belief, because I believe in reincarnation, is that bees, for millions of years, they cycle. Even though it's only 6 weeks or 8 weeks, they cycle constantly in their own hive. For them, it's like nothing.
Death is just another door.
Yeah, it's exactly. So, that's kind of how I have to see it, because it's a bit brutal to be a beekeeper, not only that, but a bee remover. Because I end up having to cut through brood, and I always end up killing some bees. And, as people like us who are so sensitive to animals and their suffering, I give myself solace by thinking, I always say I'm sorry and I always wish them well, but I do think that they're recycled and they're just so much more in tune with, the life and death as being normal.
Yeah. Everybody's afraid of death. We fear it.
That made me think, and this is maybe going to be the somber part of the conversation. Within their own hives, obviously bees go through the cycle of death and birth and perhaps rebirth. But as a hive, on a larger scale, we understand like what might cause a hive to die. But like, what are some of the reasons why a hive might perish when they have all of these systems and all of these practices like swarming that could essentially keep them alive? How long does a hive even last? Does a hive have like a expiration date?
Yeah, I have found hives to be super, the colony, the hive itself, the superorganism, is like very individualistic in a way. It's almost like a person, And in that sense, sometimes they live long, robust lives for 10 or 15 or who knows how long, some iteration of the same.
Yeah.
Because they obviously change queens over time and they cycle through so many, bees constantly, because every single day 1,000 bees are born and 1,000 bees die plus.
Right.
Give or
That's
take.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So they're constantly cycling and changing.
How many bees is there in the average colony? Like total population?
I think the average is like 20,000 to 40,000.
Wow.
That's amazing.
To be healthy, to be like
a good
thriving. Yeah. Thriving. Because if you're too small, there's so many jobs in a hive. There's so many variety of jobs that if you're really tiny, it's harder for you to, to get up to that other size. You have to be a certain size to kind of make it in a way, But this is where beekeepers come in. Because it's like, what's the point of being a beekeeper? Why not just let them be in the wild? Right. Why collect them and force them to make honey for us is one way you could think about it. Which is not my perspective whatsoever. I don't even really take honey much from the bees. But what my job is to be attuned to where they're at and maybe what they're struggling with. Back to your question.
Yeah.
So they could be struggling with pests. They have beetles, they have moths.
In the hive.
They have mites. Yeah, in the hive. They have viruses, they have bacteria.
Wow.
Yeah.
They got Rona up in the hive.
you know.
Wow, that's insane. Their version? To me.
Yes. Yeah.
What is the bee's predator in the animal world?
Mm. Yeah, that's the what's those
their
things.
Oh, those things. There's not, yeah, like,
I mean,
know,
there's
like
a bear or a honey badger.
Oh, right.
You know, duh. There's some mammals that go after them, okay, too.
I really hope not a Miami girl.
What about insects? Because once I saw a video, maybe you even showed me this video, of a wasp trying to get into a hive, and these like awesome girl bees came out and they're like, no.
They also ball them sometimes to death. That same thing where they just heat them up and then kill the wasp.
Why would a wasp want to enter a beehive? Because aren't they predatory? Wasps?
Yeah, but everybody wants to enter a beehive.
Yeah.
I know.
People and everybody else.
Maybe they can
because
smell the
pheromones. It's got the honey, which is, you know, carbohydrate. It's got the protein, which is, you know, both the bees themselves, their protein, and the larva especially. Mm. And then also the bee bread, which is the pollen that they ferment.
Once so you told me.
It's just chock full of food for all right. kinds of creatures.
And once you told me that there's a belief that at one point in the world, maybe bees and wasps were the same.
Yes.
Will you share that if you don't mind?
You know what I'm so impressed about is that you guys remember all these things.
You think we're lying?
I just rambled on as I was removing your bees. I was just yakking away.
We were like taking notes practically back then. We're like, oh my God, this is incredible. That's, this woman is a freaking fountain of knowledge. We love what you do.
Well, this is why I love doing removals for people too, because often people are super curious.
Yeah.
And I do get to teach. It's all teachable moments. Whatever, but you really like soaked it up.
No, I can tell you that
we really
it should be a testament to the, like, when you do what you love and you actually
and you
have,
love what you do,
yeah, and you have intention in what you do, it is infectious, and that's how we change the world.
Like, you're so cute, man, with your bee stickers in your car. You're wearing bee earrings right now. I know. Don't know, but your purse has bees on it. I love you for that. I love
I even
that you
brought.
Really,
honey and a candle for you.
No.
From my hives, which I figured, I know you're vegan, but you know
beeswax.
What? It's from my hives.
I didn't even think about
we
beeswax.
We got a spot on the...
That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, that's...
So 125, 130 million years ago, they went in two different directions. So somehow, bees were born out of this symbiotic relationship with flowers. Mm. Where they decided to go vegan.
Yeah.
They went, because wasps are carnivores or omnivores.
So veganism started the world.
No, my gosh.
So imagine that many years ago, they decided, oh, we're going to go this way and just eat from the flowers alone. And that's where they diverged. Mm.
And that's why wasps don't make magical
honey. They don't
honey
make honey
that keeps the queen alive. Okay. That's incredible.
It's incredible.
It really is incredible.
And I also wanted to say another point.
Yeah.
You can
say whatever you want.
So many. There is a school of thought now that one of the things, in addition to like, one of the things that contributed to Homo sapiens.
Okay.
Right? Developing... you know, diverging ourselves, was that we started to eat from hives. Oh. And that helped our brain development to a major extent to diverge into modern day humans.
Wow.
It's a thought.
What did we eat to go from Homo sapiens to homosexuals?
That is a, what do you think? What is the answer to that?
I can answer, but I'm a lady, so.
Oh, that changes much.
Okay. That's amazing. No, that is amazing. So I'm sorry. Oh, thank God my grandma's in heaven. Okay.
It just gets better.
I'm so sorry. Oh, well, look, spot on the shelf, honey, right? No, that's amazing. Bees just get cooler and cooler. That's something else. We don't actually care to do research or care about the world around us. I mean, for me, I'll tell you, like, my smallest change that was super impactful after meeting you and learning this information. I can't kill a cockroach. She'll tell you that. And I save bees all over, but with fear. Now... I will have a bee walk on me
I'll pick it up. I will admire a hive, like, as opposed to being afraid of it. And even that, mm-hmm. I feel like, is a positive change.
Wow.
Like, if you walk by bees to check your own emotions, even if you don't want to be a beekeeper, cool. But, like, inform people. Don't be afraid. Look, they're actually pretty chill. Or, like,
yeah,
you know, it's not what you think it is.
Right.
You know, or whatever the case may be. So that's been a big change for me. I really, I'm not nervous
so
about
awesome.
Them.
So the only time, and this is really important just for everybody to know, the only time that bees are stinging people is if, obviously, if you step on them or squish them or something like that, yeah. you know, startle them.
Yeah.
But they're defending their home. So that's why when they're swarming and they're homeless for a period of time, they're very docile. You can take your hand and put it through that swarm of bees.
They won't do anything.
And they won't sting you. You can literally, like, hold a whole, your hand full of bees. And they have no interest in stinging you.
Wow.
So if they're defending something like honey, bee bread, babies, queen, you know, if but even then, they still don't sting all that much. It's such a misnomer that you're going to
really
get like
is.
30 or 60 stings
also,
at once
like,
or
grow
something.
Up, guys. I should have, you know, own it right here in front of both of you. I have a big fear of being stung by a bee.
Yeah.
How many bee stings do you think, like, on your average day do you get? Because, of course, I'm sure it happens by mistake. No?
Okay, on average. No, it does happen, yeah. And then sometimes you get a little kamikaze bee, and she's, like, making it all her business to get rid of you. But that's, like, one bee, not, like,
gotcha.
50 or 100.
But I
know?
Thought they could sting you once, and then their intestines get pulled out.
Yeah.
Two, I know. It's so true. Yeah, I always feel bad. I'm like, I'm sorry. Ouch. Ouch. I'm sorry. You know, and I try and get the stinger out. I usually get stung if I'm working, which is most days, like maybe 3 times in a day.
And I went to go see you once and you were like, oh yeah, I just got stung twice. And you were like, nothing.
Yeah.
Do you think that you've built a resistance, or does it just, like, not hurt as much as we think it does?
No, it does hurt.
It does hurt.
It also depends on where. If I get stung, like, in my little fatty bits and stuff, no problem. For whatever reason, like, I can be done with that quickly in like, a minute, you know, no big deal. But if I get stung on the ear, right?
What,
like, these, like, ooh, I don't know why bees know, like, I chew my nails.
Oh, uh-huh. Me too, girl.
Right? And so, right? And so they will sting my cuticles, which I'm already, like,
oh,
you know,
my God.
And they always go for my cuticles. Like, they know somehow.
Girl, I got to get you some gloves.
So I'm sure she has plenty of protective equipment.
I know, but I don't like wearing gloves.
I know.
For the most part, I love the feel of bees and beehives and combs and all that kind of stuff.
So what's the beekeeper's secret to bee stings? Is there, like, a poultice or something?
No. Nothing? I mean, I'm hardly allergic.
You're just so cool.
I was going to say, what's actually in the sting? Because I've even heard that there are, like, medical benefits.
Yeah.
To bee
stings. Yeah. Yes.
So if you're not allergic, so sorry, because I feel like that's a big contributor to why people are really afraid of bees, because the people who will go into anaphylactic shock,
right?
You know, that's a big thing. If you get stung by a bee, that could be in your life.
True.
If you don't have an EpiPen. So I
right,
get that,
right.
You know, but what is actually in their sting? Like, what are they putting in you?
It's a venom.
Right.
My acupuncturist friends will then say, oh, that's such and such a point. I mean, we know that there's meridians and points and all that kind of stuff
right.
that can create health or, yeah. you know, balance. So beekeepers, in theory, should be real healthy.
Yeah.
And there's some anecdotal evidence. I don't know if it's proven, though, that beekeepers get less arthritis and cancer.
It's that royal jelly.
Other people.
Okay, I have one more beekeeper question. I know that, like, sometimes a lot of people, even when you're humanely moving hives,
yeah.
you have some kind of smoke, right?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's any kind of smoke. It's just smoke.
Oh, it doesn't matter what's in it?
Not particularly. It has to be natural. That's the only thing.
What does it do to them?
It has a calming effect.
Hmm.
And it helps mask that alarm pheromone. The alarm pheromone smells like bananas.
No.
What? Yeah.
You smell it?
Yeah, I've smelled it. It smells like bananas. They give off that smell when they want their sisters to know we need to defend. So to mask that smell, especially when you first crack open a hive, you know, because you're letting the light in, and it's like this, you know, you're letting the outside world into a, like a very wombic, very safe, very dark environment where their babies are being born.
Wow.
Right. And they're just going about their thing. And suddenly you're like, hello, you know? And so you use that smoke to calm everybody down. It's, you don't want to overuse it, but it definitely works. Like, you can literally pet bees because, you know, they're in this big sisterhood, right? So they're, from the moment they're born, they're jostled and moved, and they're in this like hive situation where they're always being touched forever, you know, their whole lives until they, you know, until they pass away. And sometimes they just, you'll see them crawling around on the ground, and they're just, they're going to pass away alone because they don't want to sully the hive with dead bodies. Aww. So when they know they're going to die, they leave the hive.
Aww.
That's what I mean. They're all about just the unity.
The good of the good, like, of don't the worry whole. About me.
Yeah, totally. Totally. It's their time, and that's that, you know? But
or they're like these noisy bitches.
You
know,
yeah. But you can take your finger and you can move a bee. And they're so used to being moved and jostled around that you can just pet them and move them and, like, they, you know.
As long as they're picking up that you're not doing it to harm them.
Yeah, exactly. And also, bees move a lot faster than we do. Mm. So if you slowly move in on a bee and don't startle it, it hardly sees you. Ooh. And most bees are solitary bees. They don't live in a hive.
Wait, what?
I love
them. Our eyes.
You just flipped everything. No,
I love that moment.
Throw it out. I thought that bees worked in unity. What about the infinity symbol, Melissa? The infinity symbol.
This is so true.
Start over. Erase it.
What? That's why honeybees are special, though. But there's all these thousands of other species of bees. And most of those bees, not all, but most of them are solitary bees, meaning they just handle their own brood for the year, or babies. And
do they live in a hive?
And they live usually in a tiny cavity. Yeah.
What about the real estate agent bee? Does that one live in the hive or live on its own? What? No, it lives in the hive.
Hmm?
The real estate agent bee that goes out to find the house.
The scouting
bee. The real estate agent bee. The one who does all those listings and tries to get. Yes. So that bee, that's just her job.
So she lives in the hive.
She lives in the hive.
I got it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's solo dolo bee. Well, that's another thing. It's the bees that we see is because we see them, but there are tons of hives around us. We just don't see them. Yeah.
I kind of wanted to tie things into the cosmos.
Do please. It. Please.
You know, because we're on a ride together.
That's
right. We're obviously orbiting
space.
You know, space.
This is an illusion. Yeah. We did this so that you would feel more comfortable, because sometimes when people first get to space, they're a little freaked out by the nothingness that surrounds
really
them.
You do really
good.
You do really, really good.
I'm glad.
Very homey. I love it. So, they're in mythology, you know, the seven sisters, the Pleiades.
Okay.
Those are also considered the seven bees, or Melissa. I know. In ancient mythology.
Wow.
Oh, like M-E-L-I-S, like the letters? That's seven.
I don't know about that. Is it?
Isn't it seven letters?
Yes.
Oh my God.
M-E-L-I-S-S-A.
So it's six bees and one queen. So it's seven.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's all this ancient mythology around that, by the way. I just wanted to bring that in. At some point.
No,
that's not a coincidence. That's not a coincidence.
No.
Gem has introduced a lot of beautiful things to my life, but
thank you.
One thing that Gem and I often talk about, which is like, we love outer space. We're obsessed with space, you know, wanting to know what's out there, what was before, what's going to be later. However, just like bees, we're here for a short time, and where we are is this planet. So as much as we want to focus on what's out there, we really need to turn inward and like fix what's here,
right?
Yeah, you know, like not worried about going to go have a wedding on the moon, but trying to figure out that if we don't do things like educate ourselves about the bees and change the infrastructure, then we might not even be able to get there.
Yeah,
you know, so
no man is an island. we're all connected.
We're all connected.
And I, like, not just humans.
Yes. The bees universe. Are very, yes. very well connected.
Mm. Yeah.
They just are.
They're plugged in.
They're totally plugged into the source. And that's where they function from fully. Wow. Like fully, which is, you know, we strive for it. They function in it. Mm. Wow. So, you know, I know.
Ooh, I know. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, so because bees make it. The brummery sound. It's like the it's like
and that, they believe that that's the sound of the om, right?
Yeah, yeah, but om is more like a dive in to the inner source. Bees are more like they're already there, so we're just sharing it,
projecting it.
We're just sharing that hum with the world. Mm.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's and beautiful. You know they that it's believed that that om was the sound. Of the creation the of the universe.
Inception of the universe.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
I have a lot of respect for bees. I have a lot. There's just so much to learn. Not yes. just about bees through learning about bees or the environment. Just life. You know, like we were talking about cultures earlier. Spirituality, like you're saying, bees, it comes from within them. It's a place that they already are in. In Western culture, we approach the spiritual element of our life as like an external thing.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's a place we go to on a Sunday or on a holiday. And in Eastern cultures, a lot of these cultures that actually keep these practices that we, the three of us admire, mm-hmm. it's a part of every aspect of their life.
Yep. Yeah.
The way it would be for bees.
Yeah. So it's really a privilege to beekeep, to be a beekeeper. And to be with them all the time.
Thank
yeah.
you for talking about the bees today. We've Thank learned so much.
Thank you for having me. This was yeah. so sparkly and wonderful. Thank you so much. Oh,
we love you.
I feel the bees you. In the air around us. Ah. Yeah.
Thank you for listening and caring and joining us on this journey. And we hope you do something with this information. Love you. See you next week.
Love you. Bye. This podcast is brought to you by Moonflower Productions in partnership with iHeart's My Cultura Podcast Network. For more podcasts, visit the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card...
Right this way.
It's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
There are a lot of things that matter to me. Family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.